Shame is one of the most negative emotions because what it does is it shrinks everything in you and it puts you in such a negative state that your energy drops. So think of it this way. When your energy is really low, you do very little to change things. Everything seems impossible. You don't respond to other people the same level. When you're super high energy, you've done whatever it takes. You're either excited about your future or your present, or you're working on yourself or you're working out like running, and you're that high energy, same problem happened. You can laugh at it, crack a joke at it, and it's easy, right? So your energy level with certain emotions increase and other emotions goes to the floor. And when you beat yourself up or you have shame or anything like that, your energy goes down and then it's even harder to change, which creates more shame. See, I said I was gonna change, I didn't change. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? And then you start building up a story that it's something wrong with you. And what I try to explain to people, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. I'm not here to be your guru. What you need is there's some patterns, some habits in the way you use your mind and your body. If we change those habits, you'll have a different experience. That's all it is. But being ashamed will keep you away from that because it'll put the energy so negatively in your body and you're so wiped out that it's like it's impossible, right? And then when you're in a shame, you come up with all these negative beliefs about yourself. And once you believe something, whether you believe it's true or you believe it or not, it's true. Because when you believe something's true, you'll find evidence for it. Like, I'll give you a little test. Look around this room right now and notice everything you can see that's brown, okay? Everything you can find, it's a test. Look all around, both sides of you, anything you see that's brown. People at home, look at that in your own room. What you see is brown. Okay, close your eyes. Tell me everything you just saw that was red. Now, obviously, you saw a lot more brown, didn't you? Why? Because you're looking for it. Open your eyes, now look for red. Look for red anywhere you can find red. Any place you can find red. Did you find more red this time? Mm-hmm. How come?
Because I was looking for red.
That's right. Once you develop a belief, you find what supports it. So watch this. You will find stuff that's not even there in order to be successful. I bet you saw some beige called it brown just to feel successful, did you? I bet you saw some things burgundy and called them red just so you could feel successful. If you think you're screwed up, you're messed up, you're gonna find and you're gonna color yourself that way. Mm. If you think someone else is a jerk, if you think they're your friend and they have a bad day, they have bad behavior, you're, well, they're having a bad day. If you think they're a bad person, then it's always gonna be that. Whether you think it's true, whether you think it's not, it's gonna be true for you. In other words, whatever you believe is self-evident. You reinforce what you believe. You found what you were looking for. Yeah. So you got to train yourself to look for something different. That's why I do priming. And that's why I do immersion. Because after 4 or 5 days of thinking differently, seeing differently, focusing differently, different beliefs, you have a different life,
yeah,
a different experience. But if you do it for a few minutes, you know, kind of hard to do. So yeah, that's why I still do events, because immersion has so much power. But some people do it through an audio. They listen to like an audio 30 minutes a day, every day, and they develop a new set of habits. Or they do it by exercising, or they do reading a book and then they use it right away. So there's lots of ways to get there, but immersion is the fastest way. It's like going to that class. Why am I still doing that? It's like, because you got to keep growing. And every time you make a new insight, it stacks on all the other good things. You can stack the negative and be overwhelmed, or you can stack the positive and feel this tremendous sense of momentum. And that's the other secret, momentum. You're getting momentum right now, it sounds like. Momentum is like you've ever watched a team and they're getting their butt kicked, and then somebody suddenly does something magical. They steal the ball, they do something, and boom, it creates a spark, and then the other team takes over, right? Momentum shifts everything. And momentum comes by doing the right thing over and over, and after a while, it becomes what you expect to do.
Say, birds of a feather flock together. You run around with losers, you will end up a loser. Unconsciously. Unconsciously, you will pick up their ways, you'll pick up their habits, you'll pick up, most importantly, their attitude about life. If you're around cynical, negative people all the time, you will become cynical and negative. So you got to watch yourself. Many of us are living out the lives of other people, living out their conclusions, living out of their consciousness. The other thing is that you begin to look at looking at your life and looking at what it is that you want to achieve, another crucial thing that you must do is align yourself with powerful people. Align yourself with people that can encourage you, people that can empower you, people that you can learn from, people that you can grow from. That's very important. See, if you have people around you that can contribute to your growth, you want to align yourself with people who think like you, people who dream like you, people who want more out of life, people that are stretching and searching and seeking some higher ground in life, as opposed to the majority of people. Somebody said, always strive to get on top in life because it's the bottom that's overcrowded. And see, you don't want to be on the bottom. See, it's easy to be on the bottom. It doesn't take any effort to be a loser. It doesn't take any motivation, any drive. in order to stay down there on a low level. But it calls on everything in you, ladies and gentlemen. You have to harness your will to say, I'm going to challenge myself. Sometimes I have to pull myself out of bed and say, come on, Les. Things I know I should do, I don't do. Things I shouldn't do, I do. I found that the biggest enemy you have to deal with is yourself. There's an old African proverb that says, if there's no enemy within, the enemy outside can do us no harm.
It was never intended that man should be poor. When wealth is obtained under the proper conditions, it broadens the life. Everything has its value. Everything has a good use and a bad use. The forces of mind, like wealth, can be directed either for good or evil. A little rest will recreate forces. Too much rest degenerates into laziness and brainless, dreamy longings. If you acquire wealth unjustly from others, you are misusing your forces. But if your wealth comes through the right sources, you will be blessed. Through wealth, we can do things to uplift ourselves and humanity. Wealth is many persons' goal. It, therefore, stimulates their endeavor. They long for it to dress and live in such a way as to attract friends. Without friends, they would not be so particular about their surroundings. The fact is, the more attractive we make ourselves and our surroundings, the more inspiring their influences are. It is not conducive to proper thought to be surrounded by conditions that are uncongenial and unpleasant. So, the first step toward acquiring wealth is to surround yourself with helpful influences, to claim for yourself an environment of culture, place yourself in it, and be molded by its influences. Most great men of all ages have been comparatively rich. They have made or inherited money. Without money, they could not have accomplished what they did. The man engaged in physical drudgery is not likely to have the same high ideals as the man that can command comparative leisure. Wealth is usually the fruit of achievement. It is not, however, altogether the result of being industrious. Thousands of persons work hard who never grow wealthy. Others with much less effort acquire wealth. Seeing possibilities is another step toward acquiring wealth. A man may be as industrious as he can possibly be, but if he does not use his mental forces, he will be a laborer, directed by the man that uses his mental forces to good advantage. No one can become wealthy in an ordinary lifetime by mere savings from earnings. Many scrimp and economize all their lives, but by so doing waste all their vitality and energy. For example, I know a man who used to walk to work. It took him an hour to go and an hour to return. He could have taken a car and gone in 20 minutes. He saved 10 cents a day, but wasted an hour and a half. It was not a very profitable investment, unless the time spent in physical exercise yielded him large returns in the way of health. The same amount of time spent in concentrated effort to overcome his unfavorable business environment might have firmly planted his feet on the path of prosperity. One of the big mistakes made by many persons of the present generation is that they associate with those who fail to call out or develop the best that is in them. When the social side of life is developed too exclusively, as it often is, and recreation or entertainment becomes the leading motive of a person's life, he acquires habits of extravagance instead of economy, habits of wasting his resources, physical, mental, moral, and spiritual, instead of conserving them. He is, consequently, lacking in proper motivation. His God-given powers and forces are undeveloped, and he inevitably brings poor judgment to bear upon all the higher relationships of life. As to his financial fortunes, he is ever the leaner, often a parasite, and always, if opportunity affords, as heavy a consumer as he is a poor producer. It seems a part of the tragedy of life that these persons have to be taught such painful lessons before they can understand the forces and laws that regulate life. Few profit by the mistakes of others. They must experience them for themselves and then apply the knowledge gained in reconstructing their lives. Any man that has ever amounted to anything has never done a great deal of detailed work for long periods at any given time. He needs his time to reflect. He does not do his duties today in the same way as yesterday, but as the result of deliberate and concentrated effort, constantly tries to improve his methods. The other day I attended a lecture on prosperity. I knew the lecturer had been practically broke for 10 years. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He spoke very well. He no doubt benefited some of his hearers, but he had not profited by his teachings. I introduced myself and asked him if he believed in his maxims. He said he did. I asked him if they had made him prosperous. He said not exactly. I asked him why. He answered that he thought he was fated not to experience prosperity. In half an hour, I showed that man why poverty had always been his companion. He had dressed poorly. He held his lectures in poor surroundings. By his actions and beliefs, he attracted poverty. He did not realize that his thoughts and surroundings exercised an unfavorable influence. I said, "Thoughts are moving forces, great powers. Thoughts of wealth attract wealth. Therefore, if you desire wealth, you must attract the forces that will help you secure it. Your thoughts attract a similar kind of thoughts. If you hold thoughts of poverty, you attract poverty. If you make up your mind you are going to be wealthy, you will instill this thought into all your mental forces, and you will at the same time use every external condition to help you. Many persons are of the opinion that if you have money, it is easy to make more money, but this is not necessarily true. 90% of the men that start in business fail. Money will not enable one to accumulate much more, unless he is trained to seek and use good opportunities for its investment. If he inherits money, the chances are that he will lose it. While if he has made it, he not only knows its value, but has developed the power to use it, as well as to make more if he loses it. Business success today depends on foresight, good judgment, grit, firm resolution, and settled purpose. But never forget that thought is as real a force as electricity. Let your thoughts be such that you will send out as good as you receive. If you do not, you are not enriching others and therefore deserve not to be enriched. The man that tries to get all he can from others for nothing becomes so selfish and mean that he does not even enjoy his acquisitions. We see examples of this every day. What we take from others will in turn be taken from us. All obligations have to be met fairly and squarely. We cannot reach perfection until we discharge every obligation of our lives. We all realize this. So, why not willingly give a fair exchange for all that we receive? Again, I repeat that the first, as well as the last step in acquiring wealth, is to surround yourself with good influences. Good thought, good health, good home and business environment, and successful business associates. Cultivate, by every legitimate means, the acquaintance of men of big caliber. Bring your thought vibrations regarding business into harmony with theirs. This will make your society not only agreeable, but sought after. And when you have formed intimate friendships with clean, reputable men of wealth, entrust to them, for investment, your surplus earnings, however small, until you have developed the initiative and business acumen to successfully manage your investments. By this time, you will, through such associations, have found your place in life which, if you have rightly concentrated upon and used your opportunities, will not be among men of small parts. With a competence secured, you will take pleasure in using a part of it in making the road you traveled in reaching your position easier for those who follow you. There is somewhere in every brain the energy that will get you out of that rut and put you far up on the mountain of success if you can only use the energy. You know that gasoline in the engine of an automobile doesn't move the car until the spark comes to explode the gasoline. So it is with the mind of man. We are not speaking now of men of great genius, but of average able citizens. Each one of them has in his brain the capacity to climb over the word impossible and get into the successful country beyond. And hope, self-confidence, and the determination to do something supply the spark that makes the energy work. All have the ability to concentrate, but will you? You can, but whether you will or not depends on you. It is one thing to be able to do something, and another thing to do it. There is far more ability not used than is used. Why do not more men of ability make something of themselves? There are comparatively few successful men, but many ambitious ones. Why do not more get along? Cases may differ, but the fault is usually their own. They have had chances, perhaps better ones, than some others that have made good. What would you like to do that you are not doing? If you think you should be getting on better, why don't you? Study yourself carefully. Learn your shortcomings. Sometimes, only a mere trifle keeps one from branching out and becoming a success. Discover why you have not been making good, the cause of your failure. Have you been expecting someone to lead you or make a way for you? If you have, concentrate on a new line of thought. There are two things absolutely necessary for success: energy and the will to succeed. Nothing can take the place of either of these. Most of us will not have an easy path to follow, so don't expect to find one. The hard knocks develop our courage and moral stamina. The persons that live in an indolent and slipshod way never have any. They have never faced conditions and therefore don't know how. The world is no better for their living. We must make favorable conditions and not expect them to shape themselves. It is not the man that says, "It can't be done," but the man that goes ahead in spite of adverse advice and shows that it can be done that gets there today. "The Lord helps those that help themselves" is a true saying. We climb the road to success by overcoming obstacles. Stumbling blocks are but stepping stones for the man that says, "I can and I will." When we see cripples, the deaf and dumb, the blind, and those with other handicaps amounting to something in the world, the able-bodied man should feel ashamed of himself if he does not make good. There is nothing that can resist the force of perseverance. The way ahead of all of us is not clear sailing, but all hard passages can be bridged if you just think they can and concentrate on how to do it. But if you think the obstacles are unsurmountable, you will not, of course, try. And even if you do, it will be in only a half-hearted way, a way that accomplishes nothing. Many men will not begin an undertaking unless they feel sure they will succeed in it. What a mistake! This would be right if we were sure of what we could and could not do. But who knows? There may be an obstruction there now that might not be there next week. There may not be an obstruction there now that will be there next week. The trouble with most persons is that just as soon as they see their way blocked, they lose courage. They forget that usually there is a way around the difficulty. It's up to you to find it. If you tackle something with little effort, when the conditions call for a big effort, you will, of course, not win. Tackle everything with a feeling that you will utilize all the power within you to make it a success. This is the kind of concentrated effort that succeeds. Most people are beaten before they start. They think they are going to encounter obstacles, and they look for them instead of for means to overcome them. The result is that they increase their obstacles instead of diminishing them. Have you ever undertaken something that you thought would be hard, but afterwards found it to be easy? That is the way a great many times. The things that look difficult in advance turn out to be easy of conquest when once encountered. So, start out on your journey with the idea that the road is going to be clear for you, and that if it is not, you will clear the way. All men that have amounted to anything have cleared their way, and they did not have the assistance that you will have today. The one great keynote of success is to do whatever you have decided on. Don't be turned from your path, but resolve that you are going to accomplish what you set out to do. Don't be frightened at a few rebuffs, for they cannot stop the man that is determined, the man that knows in his heart that success is only bought by tremendous resolution, by concentrated and wholehearted effort. "He who has a firm will," says Goethe, "molds the world to himself." "People do not lack strength," says Victor Hugo, "they lack will." It is not so much skill that wins victories as it is activity and great determination. There is no such thing as failure for the man that does his best. No matter what you may be working at the present time, don't let this make you lose courage. The tides are continually changing, and tomorrow or some other day, they will turn to your advantage if you are a willing and are an ambitious worker. There is nothing that develops you and increases your courage like work. If it were not for work, how monotonous life would at last become. So I say to the man that wants to advance, don't look upon your present position as your permanent one. Keep your eyes open and add those qualities to your makeup that will assist you when your opportunity comes. Be ever alert and on the watch for opportunities. Remember, we attract what we set our minds on. If we look for opportunities, we find them. If you are the man you should be, someone is looking for you to fill a responsible position. So when he finds you, don't let your attention wander. Give it all to him. Show that you can concentrate your powers, that you have the makeup of a real man. Show no signs of fear, uncertainty, or doubt. The man that is sure of himself is bound to get to the front. No circumstances can prevent him.